into pieces. What you think of this beast? Follow me talk to your divish. Goku, I never listen.
It's another week, man. I was looking forward to us getting together again, you know. Just kind of based off the feedback from people. I'm excited. So, yes, let's get it.
Yeah, let's get it.
I'm excited about this week. You know, we have a couple of good topics to discuss. And then most importantly, you know, the real agenda is on board. But before we get into it, you guys tell me, how was your week? How's the week been so far? Did you guys get on with any agenda or, you know, how are your teams doing? How's the week? How was your week?
Man, it's been a rough week. Work is crazy. Balance of work and balance of family is crazy. And so the little things that we can do to get out of that craziness, we have to do it.
Yeah.
And, you know what we do outside of this platform. You know what we do.
That's right. You know what it is.
Yeah.
You know, like,
we can do. Exactly.
And, you know. Yeah. Yeah. And then, like you said, I mean, that's kind of the reason why we have Agenda Central. You know, just so when the week is crazy, we can just come together and just, you know, brainstorm about life, sports, like we do always. So, yeah, that's great. Like I said, I'm excited about today's show. You know, when we're looking at some world sports issues. And then we'll also be, you know, the main thing, we also get into some real agenda. This week's agenda is crazy, so I'm looking forward to it. So let's get it, you know. So this week, let's just start off with Adrian Wojnarowski. I hope I got that right, but, you know, we all call him Woj. I know you guys heard the news. He's stepping down from ESPN. And I just wanted us to talk about him a little bit because for us that low, basketball has been one of the main guys we all follow, waiting on him to break news on just basketball. So just hearing that, you know, he's retiring, I just felt it was crazy. And then I just wanted us to talk about. And then as you guys are aware, there's some agenda day also, you know. So agenda day there. You know, you guys know about the beef between Woj and Shams. People are saying that, you know, Shams coming up now is probably the main reason Woj is stepping down. But, you know, there's been real beef. You know, if you go on the socials, you're going to see how now they're saying that Shams breaks the news way earlier than, you know, Woj does. And sometimes they're going at it. So it's crazy.
Was that beef really real? Or is just social media making it up? I don't know. I'm just asking.
Right. You know, I mean.
Yeah. Because social media can make things just happen.
Right. Right. I don't think it was made public, but, you know, when you're in the same industry, you got, and it's very competitive as far as getting information out. So I know there's that low key beef going on, but nobody's going to come out and say, you know. But, I guess what he's retiring to go and do is also great for the sports. He's going back to his alma mater to go and be a GM.
Oh.
I believe that's a good thing because considering now the pain there's college students, you know, if you have a GM, thinking about all his experience in the NBA and what he can do to help the school. So I'm looking forward to it. All right. So the next topic that I wanted us to talk about has to do with pitch management in Africa. And, you know, this discussion I'm bringing to the team is just pretty much based on the current state of just African pitches, football, soccer pitches in general. Right? You know, I always look at just management from a perspective where if you are able to put together resources or invest money into, you know, an infrastructure like a stadium. And then you're hoping that this stadium would bring, you know, some type of happiness to the nation through sporting activities. what would stop you from just ensuring that these facilities are maintained at a level where at least, you know, people can patronize or use and be safe?
Only way that comes to mind is corruption.
Corruption, like, straight up. It's daylight corruption.
Bro, it's so daylight. Sad.
Like, we stop.
And that is why I stayed away from actually addressing the issue, because, I mean, Slim, you're spot on. And we can talk about corruption for, you know, forever. Who's taking that money? But
like,
sorry to cut you on it.
How are we in this big 2024 and we still, as a whole nation, Ghana?
As a whole nation.
Bro, how are we even having this conversation in 2024? See, growing up, the conversation has always been Ghanaians lack maintenance culture. Like, since we became kiddie times, we've heard
this story a lot.
It's crazy. It's like, it's not like we don't know the right things to do.
No,
bro, sit on radio. These people will come give you solutions. So how difficult is it just implementing that, especially when you have funding from FIFA?
Let me ask you, do you really think that the NSA should be the one maintaining these pitches, or we should let an external party or maybe a private sector be doing this?
Personally, I think, you see, and I'm glad you brought this up, because that was the idea of saying it. Listen, a lot of these maintenance stuff, right, you always have to outsource it, give it to a third party. And then, because when you structure your contract based on years, you require some type of servicing as far as maintaining the pitches. You know, you can have contracts and pay money towards years of work. Now, when you give it to, when the government have to do it, everything is based on budgeting at that time, right? Mm-hmm. So, and everything is yearly. So now, if you have a system where you are waiting on money before you perform some functions, then you're never going to do anything, because guess what? The country is always already struggling, trying to make money. But if they had outsourced this and you have long-term contracts in place, you are even assured that when things are not good, every time the pitch will be maintained at the level that is required.
I beg to differ on that one, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, NSA is a whole body on its own, right?
Right.
So it's their job to do it, to maintain these pitches.
Yeah.
Like it's part of your role, or it's part of your duties. So there's no excuse we go if you give hiring third parties coming in to manage these things for us. No, if they see the need to do this, at the end of the day, it falls on their desk. Like, it's their business to make sure and show these things are done.
Yeah.
So for me, I think the issue with Ghana, right, it's just like blatant corruption in the country. Like, everybody they protect him off.
Everybody's trying to get a little
there. And it's like, you see the truth and people cannot speak. You speak against it and it's like you're tagged. They give you particular.
So I have 2 points to make to this, right? So the first one being, Slim, whether it has to be the government or the private sector. Well, I am saying this based on what we know, that when our public sector is maintaining some of these infrastructures, like, it's more about, okay, so then government will find someone to be there, but is that person really qualified, right? And what happens to this infrastructure if we have a new government? If that's our nature, if that's our attitude, right? We really have to fight.
It shouldn't be. We should wake the fuck up.
I totally agree with you.
You know what?
It's about time we stop making those excuses.
Attitude of our leaders is what we are suffering with. So I'm looking at a more proactive way where we're getting things out of their hands.
Oh,
anyway,
I think just to summarize everything on my point, right? I think it's about time. It's like that issue we always make for public sector. You know, that conversation about public private sector is the only difference is if you mess up in the private sector, you'll be held accountable. You will lose your job. Yeah. If you mess up in the public sector, you probably the worst case is you'll probably be transferred into a different
environment.
Exactly. So it's just accountability. Nobody's holding anybody accountable. You go, these same sports authorities, they go to FIFA. They give them grants. The grants come, they use it for different things. You can't account for it.
It goes straight into their pocket. That's what they're doing.
Probably. And they're still
anything. Yes.
Still making money excuse. The little that was given to you, what did you use that for?
Yeah.
It'd be sad. Like
Like you said, it's 2024. Like when they said an African giant as far as you know football, soccer is concerned, you now have to go play games outside your nation because you don't have the standard
annoying parts. Like people who sat on radio and TV that claim like they go fit do better. They find themselves in these positions now and they're doing the same. So it'd be the system, either corrupt people or people who are just corrupt and pretend not to be.
That's a good agenda topic.
Let's move on to the next one. Right. So, you know, I'm hoping that when the pod gets out there, the guys will be able to listen and, you know, share some views on it because this is something that really needs to be addressed. You know, I believe on the lowest level, as far as if you think about even the implications of bad pitches and bad infrastructure, you know, safety, player safety, injuries. If you think about all these things, it's really something they need to take a look at. This will wake them up.
Who passed the ball, crying uncle?
Yeah, passed the ball. Who jumped on us? I almost said, "What did you please?" They trying to host a Charlie. Anyway. This is my favorite part. This is my favorite part because my agenda for this week, let's get into it. And, you know, we're going to start off with my main man, Mr. Slimmy. Mr. Slimmy on the agenda. You know, let me know the agenda you were cooking this whole week. Let me know. Let the people know it.
I mean, I wasn't cooking the agenda. I'd be like the agenda cook itself.
The agenda cook itself.
Yes.
The agenda was ruined.
Really, bro. Effortlessly, bro. We don't even try. But it was still, I think it's about time for Angie on Fraud Watch. I think it's about, like, yo.
No, I'm with you on that, Sleepy.
I see some stats, bro. It's all looking for my mate, bro. For my mate, he's still looking good for my mate. I took time, watched my minor resume,
right?
Listened to a few things he said.
That sounds not good. That sounds not good to write about.
I wonder how he get that job, bro. and what they took, he said recently, way it make a last be. He's always won something in the second season. And I look at the leagues he played, or the leagues he's coached, and the teams he coached. I'm like, you feel sick if you take Tottenham win something in your second season. Like, how are you? Club where you don't win.
No. So with teams he coached, bro.
That's the part I'm interested in. We gotta give the listeners homework. Just look it up. then let us know.
That's it. It's a PE teacher for Australia.
Yes, it was so Brisbane, Victoria, Brisbane, or something.
Yeah,
bro.
That guy, they tossed me die, bro. He confessed, they didn't think the rest of what would happen.
So you do at the top of me, like almost slap him.
Yo, I'm telling you, this guy, where did you come the league side?
Yo,
I always used to look at him. You know, he won a couple of matches. So I was, you know, there might be something there. But then, that's when he started say stuff like, oh, he doesn't complain about wrestling, you know. And I always say to myself, this guy, you don't know what to do. And you know the crazy thing? We always talk about this with you, Lawrence. I mean, sometimes we're in, the EPL will humble you. No matter how good you think you are. You know,
bro,
if you come in, it will humble you. It will just show one or two things just so you know that it's not an easy league. But, Slim, I'm with you on that. I think it's definitely on the
front. Yeah, it's about time.
It is. Because now I think they play the same highline. I think it's easy to our coach that type of tactics. And people have seen it. And that's why they give him all that pressure.
The funny thing is, he's still stubborn about it.
Yeah, he's still stubborn about it. Now, they're telling him, he said he always win in the second year. So they're asking him now. So, hey, are we looking forward to some trophies?
Because every time they never refer him, say, oh, that guy didn't play, he come like yesterday back. No, that guy didn't implement style of play.
And if I watch him, you know what I say? He would love them with no one. As he go out, I don't see the two within the cell out.
Yo,
go inside, wow.
But this thing, we know the talk, nobody the watch. But he come by bomb, wow.
Yeah, he come by bomb. There's some kiddies.
I don't know say if he do on loan or he pay money for him, that'd be different. He come by Richarlison too.
Like
50 or so. Where he buy Solanke. Where Solanke give me goals.
But Solanke not good.
No, I don't want to say no good. But I mean, the thing is, he will be good though.
Listen.
It's on the way he blast.
If I was Solanke.
Can't sit there just find reasons why he blast.
Listen, if I was Solanke, let me just say this. You see, and listen, and that's just how I feel about it. If I was Solanke, if I have to leave Baltimore, and go play for Tottenham. I'll stay in Baltimore and ask for more money and play there. Because he was really the king. And he would get all the balls. Now you have to come to Tottenham and they are trying to play all this modern football and be all cool.
And
Tottenham is not a step up. If you are moving, go somewhere. You know, like Arsenal, like City, or, you know, go somewhere that, you know, is a big team. But Tottenham, come on, man. Like, what are we doing? I wish he was my friend. I would have advised him that, sir, don't do that. Don't do that. Tottenham, you might as well stay home and play and, you know, think it out with your kids. Anyway, let's get into it. This agenda, the big ads, definitely on the fourth watch. Yeah. Me, my agenda, we see the hat. Go bring your niggas, we pay them. So I'm thinking that the FA needs to investigate Eric Ten Hag. And then, because how do you manage a set of players at a certain point in your career? And then when you move to another team where you got paid and, you know, there was money for you to pay them, you just brought them back and gave them more money, you know? Because listen, how do you go to a team that you're going to look for players to improve your team? And you go and pay 95 million euros for Carl Tony. You know, I think that wasn't enough. You went to the butcher. You can't call yourself a butcher if you can't complete the whole season. You're always injured. You see, sometimes height issues is a problem with the EPO, but that's for another day.
It's sad though. This we are seeing in talent ID. You don't go find talent from some corner, which I know they talk. But the same players where you didn't play, but you feel safe if you work with, which transformation or which kind of tactics will you want to implement where you've always told to go back to your former players? I mean, so this agenda there, I mean, I see playing intercepts in the agenda. It'd be very questionable. More than half of the players you work with currently, you didn't work before. So if you go to the referee, people they use it for reference, where it just be it go carry them more types, because it'd be very questionable. Like if you're seeing the talent to
start. Where on the street they hire where them from. You know, they like gather and if they gather like that, when they born us, you know, sometimes they were cutting, you know, medicinal coffee, you know, when they come together, they be cutting medicinal coffee. Every time they're in high spirit. So he do something, he just call, hey, you know, I'm going to marry you right now. We got some money.
Old students in the but I just go give you guys just 2 points, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. But before I do that, there is the fact in which we need to stay.
Yeah.
Apart from Guardiola from England, Ten Hag is the most successful coach in England. And that's a fact.
Why do you say that? Because you're in a long drink.
I don't make my 2 points safe yet. So my first point be, okay. See, seek then a slim. You guys they support Arsenal, right? So
yeah, we support Arsenal.
One of your, if not your greatest coaches, he be my goat overall. And let's make that clear.
Right.
As a Wenger signed 32 French players. Lacazette was the last French player. And if I say French players, forget about the players with them from African countries where they speak French, like the Javius. That's ISF I know. Like the Giroud. Yeah, they call Giroud names.
This agenda.
This 1 point. No. The Ligt. He gets Mazraoui. He gets Gravenbeck. He gets all these guys. Right? The Frankie de Jong and these guys, they be successful with Ten Hag.
Yeah.
Right. From that time, you can go to transfer markets right now, they go check. All transfers, right, involving Ten Hag developed players. All transfers to date, right? That involve Ten Hag players. Ten Hag developed players be about 10-12%. 10-12%. Where they go above 40 million euros. So I go feed give you some examples, right? So that team, everybody just go collect some from inside. United go collect Van de Beek. Juventus go collect De Ligt. Chelsea go collect Ziyech. Who else? Bayern will carry two. Bayern will carry Gravenbeck, then this guy, Mazraoui. Everybody go collect some, right? Now,
if you collect more.
Right, so why they come? So everybody go collect some. So now, the question be say, if they are in developed players, I forgot about Alvarez, the Kudus Santos all for West Ham. They high in players, right? They contribute to about 10-20%. Then the real question you for ask your body see who really know like Ten Hag develop players? Because Arsenal gets some. And they can ask you.
No, Ten Hag, he recruits them.
Okay, so you ask good question, right? And funny enough, the good players for that squad inside, most of them don't want to play for him. Frankie de Jong, he begged, literally sleep wrong, begged the guy. The guy never want to play for United. The guy no play for Barca. Barca
literally pushed the guy. They say they go in the house. The new job.
Bro,
it's
right now.
The guy's, you know, okay, all right, leave it. All right, so right now, the agenda way to go on there, and I'm hoping that, you know, people can get into it, because this agenda there, now, the last agenda, a Taliban agenda. And so, Lawrence, since you brought this agenda, I want you to get into it and, you know, let me know exactly what that agenda be about, because
I think
which we get the fastest boy.
And say after that, they didn't even believe Saliba like that.
Continue, but I just want you to know something. This agenda, I won't meet for Jashin and own gloves. I won't face somebody. This agenda, I won't meet for Jashin with my gloves on, because I know the map. Listen, this is crazy. Before I let Slim get into it, because I know where Slim is at with this, you know, and before we bought Saliba, he made 17 appearances before we signed him in 2019. When we signed him, we bought him for 27 euros, like I said, at the age of 18. Right? Mm-hmm. I think this intention at that time was to ensure that Saliba gained the necessary experience before joining the first team. That was all that it was. Because when we bought him at that age, we just wanted to get him ready. Now, I was talking about his injuries, which kind of slowed his progression. You know, so when Arteta took over from Unai, they couldn't, you know, integrate him to the first team right away, right? So everybody wants to play. But you just got to make sure it's right. And the other thing also, there was a 2.5 million bonus that was tied to his contract at the time we bought him. And that's why, if you remember, there was a finals that Arsenal didn't let him play. And then they said it was due to also, they were scared that he might get injured. So the idea that Saliba just fought Arteta a laptop is not true. The reason I'm saying that is when Arteta took over from Unai, he was one of the players that was going through the right projects, trying to get him ready so that he could come on the team with the required experience he needs. And that's why he went on those loans. So that agenda, yeah.
So basically, Arteta had no plans for Saliba in his early days at Arsenal, correct? Or the plan was to develop him outside Arsenal?
Yes, the plan was, so that's what I'm saying, that sometimes when you take over a team and you do an assessment of the players, there are some players that you hope, there are some players that are in a project. What I mean by that is maybe they are young. A lot of times they are young players. So you try to get them ready for the main event, quote unquote. So for him, and that's what I'm saying, when we bought him, we still knew he wasn't ready. And that's why we loaned him back to the team we bought him from. And then he had to go on loan twice. It was all to get him ready. And then when he finally got his opportunity, you see what he's doing now. So
I mean,
so now you've seen how he's progressing. It wasn't a thing where they had doubts about his skills also. It was just the circumstances at that time, based on the financial aspect of it. And then also, you know, just him going on loans for development. That was all that it was. So this agenda there, make it on my money. Arteta knew at some point he was going to be a very vital part of the defense. But anyway, now let's get into it. I had some of the guys reach out to me and they were like, yo, I think see one of your picks hit the other time. So guys, the picks started hit. You know, so we have to make sure we are cooking and whipping it real good. Burnley, let's get your picks for the week. Let's get
bet. I have four teams that would give about $32K with $100.
No,
but one caveat though.
You're chill.
I've said it's all I do, bro.
Yeah, that's the other little kid.
So, in the slip here be Villa, I feel say Villarreal will go win them a game against Barcelona this weekend. I didn't feel say all these are upsets though. So and if we'll say West Ham being an early kickoff, mm-hmm. surprise Chelsea, mm-hmm. let's make it no ball. This just be money. Just forget about your feelings for now. So then the third team be, I feel Strasbourg go win against Lille. That'd be another upset.
So the last one be Brentford. I feel say Brentford go win away for Tottenham.
So what I have four teams, right? So for the West Ham and Chelsea game, I have both teams to score, right? Then
okay.
I have say Liverpool, Baltimore. I have Liverpool win. And then okay. I have Aston Villa win also. Mm. And then for the Man U game, I have both teams to score.
Then you get.
Yeah, both teams to score.
That depends on that. Okay. All right. I mean, this my picks for the weekend be more of like recovery, Charlie, because overthinking where we in midweek until we know if we drink water.
At all.
So this be a crowd. So this be more like a recovery slip. So I get the first one I get be PSG. Okay. I get Ajax.
Yes, it's on fire.
Yeah, I get Ajax. I get Juve. I get Freiburg. And then Southampton.
Nice job.
Yeah, just five teams.
Those are good ones.
All right, those are some good picks. Yeah, so I would say, guys, our picks are
data-driven.
Data-driven. We have guys that put raw work into this. Raw statistics is being researched, so you guys could just push them off of them. Push them off of them.